If you had told me that we would be doing a tech talk that relates to Roe versus Wade, I would not have believed you. But that is what we're going to do right now. The whole nation awaits the Supreme Court's final decision on a Mississippi court case, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, that could lead to the overturn of Roe versus Wade, with an opinion and an initial vote leaked this spring that suggests that's what the court's going to do. Well, it turns out cell phone data that tracks your location could be a next frontier in the battle over abortion, and it's about privacy. And this week's Tech Talk, the Boston Globe's Hiawatha Bray is here to tell us about it now. Hiawatha, welcome back.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Did not see this coming.
Well, yeah, it's fascinating. I didn't either. And almost as soon as that draft opinion was leaked, a bunch of people brought this forward, and it's actually a perfectly legitimate issue to raise because of something that didn't exist in 1973, that didn't exist even maybe 10 years ago. They're dealing with the fact that if you have states that have the authority to enforce stricter regulations on abortion, one of the ways they could conceivably do it is by tracking the movements of doctors or of patients based on cell phone data, which they can obtain legally through search warrants or subpoenas. They can get, or in fact, for that matter, they could even buy it, because not only do companies like Apple, well, not Apple, actually Apple doesn't do it, but Google tracks everything you do. If you turn on Google location, I can go back and see where I was 5 years ago if I had my cell phone in my pocket, and Google will have that information right there. The government could get hold of that. But it's not just that. Hundreds of the apps that we put on our phones routinely track our location. These guys actually make money doing this. They track our location and they sell that information to people who are called data brokers. And it is conceivable that a government agency or even private individuals could buy this information and use that as a way to report that somebody's trying to get an abortion. In the state of Texas, you have that law where private individuals can sue doctors who are performing abortions, and a private individual could conceivably purchase location data and use that as evidence in such a case.
But the location isn't going to tell you about a medical procedure you've
right.
got. What it's going to tell you, proximity? I mean,
proximity.
Tell me what this means.
No, that's a great point, because this whole question of whether or not proximity proves you've actually broken the law is itself a fraught, complex. Now, I know we're going all over the place. Now we get to talk about the Trump campaign and Dinesh D'Souza.
What?
Oh, you know, this yeah. new documentary he's got called 2,000 Mules. He has claimed that he has proven that the Trump administration was cheated, that they lost the election because somebody was going to these locations all over the country and stuffing the ballot boxes. And how did he figure it out? By buying cell phone location data and saying this particular cell phone was at this site multiple times, and we think they were there to stuff ballot boxes. It's a totally ridiculous theory,
right,
because
it could be a public library.
Exactly. They don't know what this person was actually doing, but they're using it as this argument. Now, in this case, though, it could potentially have legal consequences, or not just that, but I'll give you another example. I mentioned it in my story that I've already done about this. There is a company that is using this to send anti-abortion advertisements to people who go to abortion clinics, because they are using a service known as geofencing, where you can go and buy internet advertising that will appear on somebody's phone based on where they are. So if you're near a clinic, you might get an ad saying, please don't get an abortion. But they don't really know that the person near the clinic is there to get an abortion. That's absolutely correct. This is a kind of information that could be used to invade your privacy, but by itself, it wouldn't prove anything. You'd have to combine it with other data. But the people who are concerned about this are so worried about it that they are trying to stop any possibility that this location data could be used for that purpose.
So let's pick up on that. So I know that Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren has been active on this. Just yesterday, she introduced new legislation targeting the issue. Here's just a little bit of her comments.
It is long past time to pass some basic rules of the road for this unregulated $200 billion industry that is profiting from putting human beings at risk.
Now, I'm assuming what she's referring to there is this selling of location data to data brokers.
That is exactly what she's talking about. And she's proposed a law, a really fascinating idea. It wouldn't ban the collection of the data. It would ban the resale of the data. And it's a really interesting issue, because this is going to, it's being done in the name of protecting people's right to get an abortion, but this would just completely set the entire internet on its ear, because so much of the data that these people use for advertising, for marketing, is based on buying and selling location data. And if that's banned altogether, the whole internet economy as we know it would have to be completely changed. The implications are huge. I have no idea whether this could ever make it through Congress, but the funny thing about it is that we all start out on this issue of abortion, but there are people right across the political spectrum who are legitimately interested in this very problem. What kind of limits are we going to put on this kind of thing? I mean, a perfectly good question. When did it become legal for people to buy and sell our location data in the first place? Where do they get the right to do it? Nobody asked us. And you could imagine.
Did we know? This is something I've wondered often, right? As somebody who's not deep in the technology industry, I will often find out that something has been happening, right? And I just never knew it was happening. Did we know people were tracking our location this way and selling that data?
If you did the research, you knew. It's not like they're keeping it a secret. But nobody stops to think about that. It's become ubiquitous. And Elizabeth Warren has really put something very worthwhile on the table, although I'm not convinced necessarily this is what we want to do, but she's raising a great point. Who died and made these people, gave these people the right to buy and sell the location data about where we are? It's worth having a national debate on that. Do we really want this kind of thing in the hands of anybody with the price of the database? I'm not sure we do.
Are there states, as I understand it, Massachusetts doesn't have a law on the books about this, but are there other states that
I don't know what the California law says on that specific issue, but of course, California famously has the strictest laws on this subject. And the other thing I wrote about in my recent piece is that this whole controversy kicked off by abortion could help finally drive us towards something most other major industrial countries already have, a national privacy law. The U.S. has really good privacy laws about specific little things like medical records. We have very good medical record privacy law. We have financial record privacy law. But other countries have an all-purpose, all-around privacy law. People, Republicans and Democrats say, yes, we definitely need one. We definitely need one. And they've never been able to come together. Last Friday, or was it the Friday before, a bunch of Republicans and Democrats got together and they put forward their latest proposal. I have no idea whether it's going anywhere, but it definitely shows that both parties really understand that this is a hot-button issue. Who gives these people the right to collect all this data, sell it, use it for who knows what, and we don't have anything to say about it?
As I understand, one of the sticky wickets in that bipartisan work is this question of whether a federal privacy law would supersede state laws.
Yeah.
And of course, we always pay attention to that because if Massachusetts wants to do something on its own,
right,
can it if there's a federal law? So that is one of the sticking points.
That's a sticking point. And they've come up with some kind of a compromise that will let some existing state laws that might be a little stricter stay in place, but it would still generally have the federal law preempting. And frankly, in my opinion, that makes sense, because if you're going to have a federal law, it should be a federal law. You want to have all these companies have a standard that they have to meet nationwide. But other states would want to say, hey, maybe we want to be even tougher, and it's something they're going to have to hash out. But it's really weird. As one person I talked to said, it shows the dysfunction in the Congress, because 95% of what is being talked about here, everybody agrees with. You shouldn't be able to, at the very least, you shouldn't be able to sell somebody's location data without telling them. All these apps that are already collecting this data should have to let us know what they're doing. We should have the ability to get at the data, check whether it's correct, demand that it be deleted, all that stuff.
And we don't have any of those abilities.
Not etched in federal law, no. Some states, they've got things like that. Others don't, and there's no federal law.
So what can an individual, I'm holding my phone in my hand right now, right? Mm-hmm. Don't worry, it's on Do Not Disturb.
Right.
But what can an individual pick up listening to this saying, holy shnikey, I don't want people to know this much about where I've been.
Turn it off! Smash it! It's your only hope!
I don't want to smash my
phone.
No,
of course not. Of course not.
So what can I do? What can people do?
Well, there are some things you can do. Obviously, you could turn off location services, but then you can't use your, like, Google Maps or something. Maybe you can turn it on only when you're actually trying to navigate with it. You can also be careful when you install apps. Fortunately, both Google and Apple have a feature now where you can tell it when you install an app and it asks for location data. You can say no.
No.
You can go through your phone, look at the settings for your apps, the apps you already have on, and go through and see how many of them take advantage of location data. There are places where you can look it up and see, here's what your app is doing, and turn it off wherever it is trying to collect location data, unless it's some app where you like Maps or something, where you really need it to know where you are. So you can turn all of those things off if you systematically go through it. But, and this is another thing that both Senator Markey and Senator Warren have done. They've reached out to these guys and said, you guys should have, Apple and Google, I mean, should have stricter rules for what your apps can do. and put greater limits on how many apps can collect location data. Something like that is going to be needed, I think, in the long run. But for now, yeah, you can go through your phone, turn off the app locations that you don't want the app to know. And also, of course, if you choose, you could just switch off location until those specific times when you're using it, and the rest of the time leave it turned off. But how many people are going to think to do that?
Yeah, great question. All right, before we let you go, I just want to touch for just a minute on one other story in the tech news this week. There's this former engineer at Google, Blake Lemoine, who has argued that an artificial intelligence product they have, Lambda, has achieved sentience, some kind of self-awareness or ability to think on its own. Many others in Google say no. Mm-hmm. It's just really good at mimicking that because that's what we designed it to do. Are we headed towards that, you know, moment in Terminator when Skylab becomes self-aware? Or is this a case where just the mimicry's gotten really good?
I'm showing my age. I always think of this movie everybody's forgotten, The Colossus, the Forbin Project, where they put all the nuclear weapons in charge of a supercomputer, and it decides it can run the world better than people can. Oh, it's a great movie, but nobody's ever heard of it. We don't know. The classic problem, you know, ever since Alan Turing was fighting over this, was it in the 50s he first started thinking about this? The whole Turing test and the idea, how would you know if a machine was really thinking? I tend to be very skeptical that that's what's going on here, but I mean, we just don't know. Can computers become ever more capable? That is something I don't think there's any question about. Remember a couple of years ago, Microsoft set up two computers to talk to each other, and they started to develop their own language? That's straight out of that movie, Colossus. That's what happens, these two computers. And the problem with it is, and this is already a real problem in artificial intelligence, the problem is if two computers do that, we wouldn't understand
right.
the language.
Right, then we're out of the loop.
We're out of the loop.
Yeah.
And that already happens with AI. We're getting AI systems that make, like I think I told you about the one about the AI that can tell whether you're black or white
right.
just from looking at your x-rays.
And it did it on its own.
And nobody knows how, and the computer can't tell us. Which, by the way, seems to suggest that it's not really intelligent. If it was intelligent, it could maybe explain its answers. But this is a huge problem in artificial intelligence. We don't know what they're thinking. And so we don't even know if they're thinking. It's really cool, isn't it?
cool, terrifying, maybe a bit of both. And listen to the Terminator fans out there. Sorry, yeah, I know it's Skynet, not Skylab. Sorry about that.
No, it's Skynet, yes.
So, Hiawatha, so great to have you. Hiawatha Bray is technology writer for the Boston Globe and our regular guest here on Radio Boston for Tech Talk. Thanks for talking tech.
You're welcome.